One event set for tomorrow. The governor's fishing opener will happen on Lake Chetek in Barron County, and the governor is planning on going, by the way. Those ice chunks out there, no longer an issue. It's time to talk fishing opener on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. David Rowe is here. He is Wisconsin DNR's fisheries team supervisor. He's based out of Fitchburg. David, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You must be so excited for this weekend.
It's a pretty exciting time.
So, game fishing season opening tomorrow. What fish are included in this category?
Yeah, so game fish are the top predator fish like walleye, northern pike, muskie. It also includes trout. The panfish species like crappie, bluegill, and perch, we don't have a restricted season on, so you can catch those all year round. But, you know, the people who've taken in the last 2 months off after kind of finishing up their ice fishing in February are excited to catch some walleye and some northern pike again.
They've had a couple months hiatus, perhaps, and they're itching to get back out on those lakes.
Yeah, we do a season closure because the fish are getting ready to spawn, and already in southern Wisconsin, the walleyes are done spawning, the northern pike are done spawning. And so during that spawning time period, from a conservation ethic, we close the season, so there's no fishing. Up north, because of the late spring, the fish haven't even started yet. They're just starting, so we'll kind of have an overlap there, but size and bag limits protect the fish too.
So coldest and snowiest April on record. What happened to our fish? How is this impacting the season?
So the season is going to be a little bit different because up north, especially in the northeastern part of the state, there's still ice on some lakes. People are going to have to use their judgment. No ice is safe ice. And if you don't know it's safe, don't go out on the ice. If you do go out on ice, you know, having a flotation life jacket and a rope to make sure that you're safe if you do go through. But as far as the fish, they key on, you know, seasonal things like daylight and temperature, and the daylight kind of gets them ready, and then when the temperature hits that right temperature, they decide to spawn and lay their eggs. Especially walleye are really popular fish, and we see them come into the shallows and spawn on kind of gravel flats up north, and so probably a lot of anglers will have a good chance at getting those fish as they come in shallow when the season opens on Saturday.
Was there a big kill-off with not being able to get enough oxygen, or is that not an issue?
No, so winter kill is an issue on smaller lakes when you have a long, cold winter. But because we didn't have that much snow cover earlier, light was still able to go through the ice and photosynthesize in the plants, and the plants kept the lakes oxygenated. So we didn't have a ton of winter kill. We just had longer ice cover than normal.
So if there are chunks of ice floating out there on the lakes, boats want to get out, do you just maneuver around those ice chunks or...
Yeah, so if people are putting their boat on, and a lot of the public launches will be open, they may not be piers put in yet. County crews have been having a hard time because of road bans and wait, as well as just waiting for the ice to be completely gone before they'll put in some piers in some of the lakes up north. You'll have to launch your boat and be careful, but navigating where there are ice still on the water just means going a little bit slower. Fishing, you don't need to go super fast anyways.
David Rowe is here. He is the Wisconsin DNR's fisheries team supervisor, and he's helping us out on getting acclimated for fishing, game fishing season opening tomorrow here in Wisconsin. How are you dealing with the ice this weekend? Are you letting it dampen your plans? Are you going to head out as usual anyway? Do you live in northern Wisconsin? Are you going to start fishing later this year than you normally would? Tell us about your secrets. What are your tackle tips and your favorite game fish? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, David, how long does the game fishing season last? I know there are phases with particular fish, and DNR does a great job with its grids and calendar grids, but give us a sense of the season itself.
Yeah, so in general, the game fish season opens the first Saturday in May. It runs basically through the summer, or the fall, and the winter, and then it'll close down again in February. So basically, March and April is when the game fish season's closed. That's for the inland lakes. For trout streams, the season will start at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. The lakes actually open at midnight, but for trout, it actually opens at 5 a.m. then that season will run all the way through the summer and the fall. But because trout actually spawn in the fall, we close down the trout season in October. And so it's now October 15th. We actually extended the season about 2 weeks with a rule change about a year ago.
And you said the word rule change here. So what are some of the more important rules to keep in mind as you head out?
Yeah, the most important thing is buy your license. So if you're an adult over 18 to participate in fishing, you need to buy a license. There's a youth license for people 16 and 17, and then there's a senior license as well. So get your license. When you buy your license, you should get a regulations booklet. The regulations are pretty simple to follow. You got to know what county you're in and what water body you're on, and then you can look in the regulations booklet to see if there's any specific regs. But often for the game fish, because we want to protect them to a size where they're an adult and they can actually spawn and reproduce, we set minimum size limits based on the size at which they reproduce or how fast they're growing. And then we set a bag limit so you can only take 3 or 5 fish so that there's enough fish for everyone and the fish don't get over-harvested.
Are there any new rules or regs that fishers need to know about this year?
Two of the newer rules in the southeast part of the state, because of the walleye initiative where we increased walleye stocking, and we know in the southern part of the state the walleyes grow faster. We've actually extended the size limit from 15 to 18 in 6 counties in the southeast part of the state. And so if you're fishing in Waukesha or Ozaukee, make sure that you know that walleye now need to be 18 inches. And then statewide, we simplified the muskie rules so that the trophy lakes are now all regulated with a 50-inch minimum length limit in one fish. So that we did away with a 45-inch length limit on some of the lakes just to make the rules a little simpler.
Let's go to Jerry, who is waiting in Glendale. Good morning, Jerry.
Well, good morning. Thanks for this program very much. I'm originally from Ashland, way up on Lake Superior. And I have fond memories when I was growing up there of the smelt season on Shawamigan Bay. And the smelt season would generally start when the ice would go out of the bay, which normally would be about in the first part of April. Well, a couple of minutes ago, I just checked the camera on the back of the Northern State Bank building up there. I see there's still ice on the bay. And I'm wondering from your DNR expert if he could comment on how this late ice covering is going to affect the smelt season, and also if the DNR person could comment on the smelt fishing over the last couple of years. I've heard that it's really been very poor, and the supply of smelt is really dying out. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry.
Sure.
David.
So I should put a disclaimer. I'm not a fish biologist for Lake Superior. I'm an inland biologist down here. But I do know that the fish will spawn later anyways. They, like I said earlier, they kind of key on the daylight time period and then the temperature. So those fish, the smelt, are still probably holding offshore. They sometimes will, you know, kind of crowd in and wait for the right temperature, but they're still there. As far as the numbers of smelt, you're right. We've noticed that smelt numbers both in Lake Michigan and Lake Superior have really gone down in the past years. Smelt are actually an invasive species that aren't supposed to be in the Great Lakes and were brought in actually originally by the state of Michigan as a forage fish, thinking they could increase the growth rate some of their fish. And so when they get into some of our inland lakes, they really cause problems. But they do make a great food fish, both for game fish and people. But because of the way that we've been managing with the salmon stocking in the Great Lakes, the smelt are basically a forage item for the salmon. And because we've increased the amount of those game fish, they've really been preying down upon the smelt. The other thing that's really changed the Great Lakes is zebra mussels and spiny water fleas, two more invasive species, have kind of filtered out and made the lake much cleaner. As far as Michigan, so the smelt numbers there have basically disappeared. There isn't as much food left in Lake Michigan, and Lake Superior has some of the same issues from the zebra mussels and quagga mussels.
What's the best thing about fishing on Lake Superior?
You know, the couple times I've gotten to get up on Lake Superior and either troll for salmon or troll for walleyes on Shawamigan Bay, I just the sky and the beauty. It's such a serene environment. And then, you know, because it is a big water, it can also turn pretty nasty. But just the environment and the it's a very beautiful place to fish.
Yeah, you really can find your peace out there. And it's so huge that you might not come in contact with other fishermen.
Yeah. Well, and when you're out on big water like that, you can really find that sense of serenity and peace and kind of be by yourself. But sometimes if the fish are concentrated, there will be many boats in the same area. Right. So,
many northern Wisconsin lakes still have ice on them because of what happened in April. Oh, April, the coldest and snowiest on record. So that's put DNR staff behind a bit on fish species survey work up there this spring. We're talking fishing opener on Wisconsin Weekend. David Rose stays with us. He's the DNR's fisheries team supervisor. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How are you dealing with the ice this weekend? Are you letting it dampen your plans? Or are you going to head out there as usual, 5 a.m.? You've got a line right here, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. The ice out there on northern lakes could lead to larger than normal fish kills, although David Rowe said that's not the case. But on a positive note, the conditions on open lakes may be some of the most favorable for anglers, as walleyes and northern pike may be concentrated in shallow water. It's all things fishing opener on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR's David Rowe stays with us. He's fisheries team supervisor, and you can join in with your questions and your suggestions for where to cast a line on this opener. 800-642-1234. Tell us about your secret sauce. What are your tackle tips on your favorite game fish? Where do you find the most bites? Do you prefer a river or a lake? You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. David, earlier you mentioned the word trophy lakes, and help us understand what are the trophy lakes and where are they?
Sure. Well, the department manages fisheries for angler expectations, and some people would like to harvest opportunity. Some people just want, you know, an all-around, well, I want some fish for keeping, but I want to catch nice-sized fish, and some people just want to go out there and catch the biggest fish possible. So in lakes where we know that the growth potential of the fish can produce those really trophy fish, we set the size limits for those anglers that are wanting it. And so for our muskie fishery, Wisconsin's state fish is a muskie. We've got really a fantastic muskie fishery in Wisconsin, both action lakes where you can go out there and catch quite a few fish, but some of these lakes that have low densities, but the fish grow really fast or get really, really big. We have the world record muskie in Wisconsin.
What is that world record?
The world record, it's a great question, but it's
it's big.
Yeah, and it's from the 40s, and there's some questions whether it's legit.
Oh,
not,
but wow. There's always mystique
around the state records from the Hayward area. But so on those lakes where we do have, and they're normally the bigger lakes, they have really good food sources as far as cisco and white sucker and things that for fish to eat. So in those lakes, you see big walleyes, big northerns, big muskies. The fish just grow faster in bigger lakes usually.
Well, Jim in Oconomowoc called in to ask, while fishing in the Rock River near the Jefferson Dam, his friend caught a walleye that had a tag on it. Does your DNR guest, that would be you, David, know what those tags are all about and what you should do if you catch a fish with a tag?
I do know exactly what those tags are and what you should do. So the tags allow us to study the movement and then the angler harvest of those fish. And so it allows us to set regulations or stock fish differently based on the way that the fish are moving and then how many of them anglers are reporting back to us. So we put those fish, or we put the tags in the fish usually during our survey work. If we're netting or electrofishing, we'll capture them, measure them, weigh them, and then put a tag in. And so we'll mark the fish. And then we get reports from anglers that said, hey, I caught this fish. And maybe that fish from the Jefferson Dam was tagged up further river on the Rock River system, or maybe it was tagged down in Lake Koshkonong and moved up into the system. And so it allows us to understand the movement. But if you catch a tagged fish and you intend to keep that fish, you need to tell us that. You need to tell us the size of the fish, what the tag number is. So if you have your cell phone on you, you can just take a picture of the tag so you can remember it. Sometimes the tags get a little algae on them. You have to wipe it off a little bit. And whether you kept or harvested kept or harvested the fish, and then where you were fishing and what date you were. If you aren't going to keep it, leave the tag in the fish so that we get more information, but still report the tag to the DNR office. And usually the tags will have the DNR office, whether it was Horicon or Fitchburg or Poinette. But we do have several tagging studies going on, including Lake Wabisa, Swan Lake in Columbia County, the Wisconsin River, Lake Dalton, Koshkonong, and the Rock River system.
And do the tags have like a phone number, or do you just know to go on the DNR website, or
yeah,
how does that work?
Because the phone number can be confusing, we usually only put the serial number of the tag, and then on the opposite side, it'll say Wisconsin DNR, and then the office. And so you should go on to the DNR website and figure out, actually, there, if you would go on and under the search bar just do tagged fish, it'll take you right to a list of all the biologists by county and the tagging projects.
Good to know. Well, Les in Minocqua emailed, is there any concern about eating fish given the pollution in some bodies of water? Is there any way to really know?
Yeah, so the individual contaminant in your fish, there's no real way to know. So we put out a general guideline based on what our statistical monitoring tells us is in there. And up north, you guys have a mercury contamination issue from atmospheric deposition. Sources of mercury are coal-fired power plants and other air emissions. But then those come down in rain. And because the lakes up north actually are more acidic, the mercury is more uptaked into the food web. And big game fish like walleye and muskie actually bioaccumulate levels of mercury that aren't good for people. Panfish tend to have less. And so panfish are safer to eat. The DNR actually puts out a really good pamphlet called Healthy Choices, A Safe Guide to Eating Fish. And it talks about specific lakes where if there is a PCB or a mercury issue, it'll list that specific lake and tell you how many meals per week or how many meals per month you can have. And it's different for men and women of childbearing age or children. Children are very sensitive to things like mercury and PCB, so they need to be more protected and be more cautious when serving fish, so they're better off eating bluegills and perch. Older people, probably not such an issue, and walleye and pike are okay. But we do really have a great a resource on the department website or the pamphlet. It's called Healthy Choices, A Safe Guide to Eating Fish.
So you can also find that on the DNR's website as well.
Yep.
Do you have any recommendations for really great spots to go fishing?
Well, so that's all depends on what you consider
that is
a really great spot.
Broad.
Yeah, so people often ask me what's my favorite spot, and I would say that it's actually a small lake in Washera County because that's where my family cottage is, and I love taking my boys fishing there. It's easy. There's never any trophy fish, really, but it's always we catch fish and we have a great time. If I'm going out to try to get, you know, a meal of bluegills, Lake Monona in Madison is one of my favorite spots. Lake Mendota in Madison is another great spot. The Wisconsin River is a great walleye location. Green Bay is a great walleye location. So really, you got to ask yourself, what do you want to get out of your fishing trip? Is it time to spend with family and friends? Is it, you know, to get away and be in a serene location like a wildlife area where it's a trout stream where you're not going to see another angler? Because sometimes some of our better fishing spots are pretty crowded and not necessarily aesthetically pleasing, but you're more likely to take home some fish.
And if you don't have a boat, are there fishing spots for you?
Yeah, so that's one of the great things about Wisconsin is we have a wide variety. So we have trout streams where you wouldn't need a boat, small to medium-sized rivers, and even on some of our larger rivers like at the Wisconsin Dells, there's great shore fishing locations where you can still catch plenty of walleye. Madison area lakes, we've got a great local fishing club called the Yahara Fishing Club puts out a document called Guide to Shore Fishing Locations in the Madison Area that really talk about great spots, and they can be seasonal. So sometimes, like now, the fish are just getting finished spawning, or the bluegills and the bass are about to get spawning. They're going to be in certain locations, and so those shore fishing spots can really be seasonal, but can be really good too.
We're talking with the DNR's David Rowe. He is our guide this hour as the fishing opener happens tomorrow. He is the fisheries team supervisor, and you can join in with your questions, your tips, 800-642-1234. Why do you fish? Is it to escape the daily grind because you grew up fishing? Is it to get away from technology and enjoy nature? What are you looking forward to this fishing season? Are there rules you want the DNR to clarify? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. David, what advice would you give to a first-time fisher?
actually, the best advice is find someone who knows what they're doing and try to have them take you, because both as far as spots to fish, gear to use, it can seem a little intimidating, but fishing can actually be real simple. You know, a hook, a little weight, and a bobber is all you really need. You know, finding out where to go it can be the first step. If you really don't even have, if you want to get into fishing and you don't know, call your DNR office and they can give you some tips on local spots to do. And then there's some programs, whether they're through fishing clubs or the DNR runs a program called Fishing for Dinner, where it's teaching people that, hey, the local resources are there and they can make good food that's safe. And so there's programs like that that you can find too. So really, the best way to get into fishing is find someone who knows what they're doing and kind of go for a ride with them.
And there are programs for kids as well.
Sure. And one of the opportunities, so we talked earlier about a wide variety of opportunities, especially in our urban areas, and these are throughout the whole state, in Green Bay and Milwaukee, Madison, even Anago has one. We have urban ponds that are specifically stocked with trout and panfish for youth anglers. They're very easy to fish. They're full of fish that are ready to bite. Some of them are limited for kids only or disabled anglers only during the spring, and then they get opened up to everybody after the regular opener, and some of them stay kids fishing throughout the whole year. But they're really easy opportunities, and if you go onto the department website and look for the urban fishing program, it lists those specific waters, or they're also listed in the fishing regulations booklet.
So what about bait? Can you give us a 101 on bait, where we should begin, what type of bait we should be looking for?
Sure. If you're choosing bait, you got to think about what fish you're trying to catch. And so if you're trying to catch bluegill and perch and crappies, smaller bait, things that are imitating insects, so waxworms, or sometimes there's little things called spikes, which are actually fly larvae. Worm is hard to beat. All fish like worms. I'm not sure why, because they're a terrestrial thing, but when, you know, we've had these recent rains and the worms get washed in off the street, fish love to eat worms, and so you can catch all sorts of fish on worms. And then if you're trying to catch the bigger game fish using live bait, such like minnows, and right now it's amazing if you go into a hardware store or a sporting tackle store, the variety of lures that are created now. Soft plastic lures that are almost lifelike, spinners, crankbaits, twitch baits. And if you would come to my house, I'm sure my wife would say that I have way too many lures in the garage, but there is a plethora of choices. But what you're trying to do is imitate something that the fish is trying to eat. This time of year, the water can be really clear, and so natural colors and slower moving lures can be more effective. In the summer, once the lakes kind of green up a little bit, or if you're on a tanniny lake, bright colors that will attract things, and then faster or erratic moving things will tend to be better lures.
Well, and a number of fishers have really tricked out their boats and their equipment with so many electronic gadgets now available to fishermen. Can you tell us about those, and what ones do you think we should perhaps invest in?
Yeah, so there is a wide variety of technology that has become available in the past 15 years, including GPS for finding your location on a lake. So if you have a secret spot, it's, you know, you can record the lat long and either share it with your friends or keep it to yourself. Sonar units on boats are almost to the point where you can see underwater structures like trees to just a very fine detail. I was fishing with a guy last year, and he said, watch on this graph off the back. If you see a white arch, it'll be a live fish. And sure enough, you know, I saw the fish, I casted that way, and the muskie followed up to the boat, and I was absolutely amazed how accurate that underwater sonar unit was.
You could literally watch play-by-play as to your fishing. Amazing.
It is amazing how good some of the technology is. You know, trolling motors now have GPSs built in so that instead of having to put down an anchor, people will just put their trolling motor, set it to that spot, and the motor will actually actively keep them on that spot or drive a straight line. So technology has gotten really amazing. Sometimes as a fish biologist, you feel like it's hard to keep up. The other thing that's is cell phones. We see, you know, one guy gets on a good bite and catches a bunch of fish. He calls his friend, and that guy calls his friend, and the next thing, there's a pile of people out there. So it's amazing how quickly the word can get out about a good bite, and you'll see that when, you know, all of a sudden there's a concentration of boats in a spot.
Let's go to Derek now in Neillsville. Hi, Derek.
Hi. I was wondering if there's any, like, restrictions on live bait. Like, if you were using a crawdad or some kind of fish, is it illegal to use some of them?
Yeah, there definitely are baits that we restrict, mostly because they're invasive species or there's disease risks. So crayfish are one where you can't use them because we don't want the rusty crayfish, which is an invasive species, to be moved from water body to water body. They really damage the aquatic plants, and they can ruin that. So crayfish are out as far as a live bait, unless you're on the Great Lakes. There's some specific allowances there. So this is where the rules kind of get complicated, because you want to restrict things that are bad but allow people to have opportunities where they're okay. So that makes the rules a little bit complex. Basically, buy your live minnows from a registered bait dealer so that you know that they were checked for health. That way you're not worried about moving a disease from one water body to another. You can reuse minnows as long as you're going back to the same water. But if your minnows have become in contact with a lake and you're going to a different lake, you can't take them to the other lake because we're worried about the disease movements. So in the fishing regulations, there is some descriptions about what baits are legal and which aren't. But really, don't move live fish, don't move water, and don't move other aquatic organisms, because you might spread aquatic invasive species or you might spread diseases.
Derek, does that help you out?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So, David Rowe, there hasn't been an increase in fishing licenses in the state in years. Is that an issue the DNR is looking at?
Yeah, it's a trend nationwide, actually, for participation rates in hunting and fishing are declining compared to the general population. So we see population continue to increase. Luckily, in Wisconsin, we've stayed stable, even though the population is increasing. So we are losing a general population. But fishing in Wisconsin is really part of our culture. And we're about double the national average for a participation rate. About 20% of adults in Wisconsin fish in that year and participate in that year. But over their lifetime, about 50% of Wisconsinites at least fish one time, which is way higher than the rest of the national average. You know, the problem with declining participation is we pay for all the services, the stocking, the fish surveys, maintaining boat ramps through license sales. And if we have decreasing license sales, the services that people expect aren't going to be able to be there. And so we want, not only because it's we want to pass on the culture and have people enjoy fishing and enjoy the resources of our state, but we also need the resources, or we as the department need that revenue to help pay for the services we offer people.
And it's also trying to get the next generation to come with you fishing. I mean, I'm sure that's a real issue there too.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at the numbers, we're doing pretty good with the younger people. We're doing pretty good with as far as diversity and ethnic groups. Where we're losing people really seems to be in their middle years. And so ages, you know, 35 to 60 is where people really seem to stop fishing. And whether it's work is too busy or parenting is too busy, that seems to be where we're losing people. The millennial generation seems to be picking up and interested in, and you talked about technology earlier, and some of those technology things seem to be complementing fishing, whether it's chatting or apps about fishing. People like to bring in that. But it's that middle age group, the 35 to 60, where we seem to be having some lapsed anglers, if you will.
Opening day for Wisconsin fishing is traditionally the first Saturday in May. Hook and line fishing for many species on a number of Wisconsin lakes begins tomorrow, and we're getting ready for the action here on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. The DNR's David Rowe is in the house. He's our guide. He's the fisheries team supervisor. You can join in with your questions, your tips, 800-642-1234. Are there specific things you want to ask the DNR about that's been always been on your mind? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Back after this news on the Ideas Network.
I'm sitting here wishing that I could go fishing, but I gotta go to work today.
What's up with all the country music this hour? This season may be remembered for its later-than-average ice outs. Wisconsin's fishing season openers tomorrow, 1 week ahead of our friends next door in Minnesota. We're getting ready to wet our line on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR's David Rowe stays with us as our guide, getting your funniest, proudest, most favorite fishing stories. They're welcome at 800-642-1234. And along the way, tell us about your secret sauce. What are your tackle tips? Your favorite game fish? Where do you find the most bites? Do you prefer a river or a lake? You can call in or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to George now, waiting in Hurley. Hi, George. Hey there, George. Can you hear us? Oh, George, I think we're losing you. Oh, there you are. Hey, George.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to know why there is no fish hatcheries here in the state for panfish. They seem to be restricting the bag limit quite a bit since a few years ago and since I was a kid. But I wanted to know why there isn't a fish hatchery for panfish, yeah, like Iowa and other states.
George, that's a great question. And the reason why we have fish hatcheries is to help with the reproduction of fish. And so species like walleye and northern pike and muskie are really dependent on habitat, and they spray a lot of eggs out there. And if there isn't the right habitat, the eggs just can't hatch and survive and don't contribute to the fishery. Panfish, on the other hand, like bluegills and crappies and even largemouth bass, all are nest builders. And because they build a nest and care for their young up until they turn into a fry and then they kind of escape from the nest, we don't really need to use a hatchery to increase the numbers of those fish. And stocking fish isn't really additive. It's kind of trying to help with when those species that have reproductive issues because of habitat loss or other things, we add those back in. Walleye, some of them we stock in lakes where there isn't even the right habitat because people want that. But the panfish in general are able to sustain themselves. The reason the bag limits changed is more because of growth potential. And when a fish gets to be, let's say a bluegill gets to be 7 inches and somebody catches it, it usually goes home because that's about the size that people prefer. And so when we reduce the bag limit, what we were trying to do is increase the size of the fish by people being a little more choosy. If you only get to take 10, then you're going to choose some bigger fish and increase the size structure. We actually published a paper showing that if you wait until fish are larger, you get just as much or more meat out of 10 fish than harvesting 20 smaller fish. And so there's some good science behind waiting in a smaller bag limit, but actually being more choosy in the size of the fish you keep.
George, thanks for the call. Let's go to Steve in Warrens. Good morning, Steve.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had a question. I know it's kind of out of season now, but it's regarding minnows ice fishing. I was told that you're not supposed, you know, you get a dead minnow, and I see a lot of dead minnows on the ice. I know you're not supposed to put them back in the water. You leave them on the ice for the birds. I mean, are you supposed to pack them out with you in a separate bag? Because I don't want to put them in with my live minnow.
So I would, if it was me, I would pack them out with your rest of your trash. And so, you know, not littering if you're catching fish. We wouldn't leave the carcasses on the shore or on the ice. So, you know, it's just not littering. And so if you're done fishing and you've got some dead minnows, I would pack them out and throw them in the garbage when you get home or at the boat ramp when you get off the water.
Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Gary now in Hartford. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. Okay, I want to talk about the fish license decline, the reason behind it. Mostly it's because the fish population is down, specifically walleyes in northern Wisconsin in the ceded territory. Okay, I've been spending a lot of time up there since the 70s, and the walleye population has been depleted since about the early 80s when Indian spearfishing was legalized, and it continues to decline simply because of all the fish that are being taken out, thousands per year, in the most vulnerable time when they're spawning, and it's hard to replace that because they're gone.
Gary, because we're short on time and we want to get David here to respond to Indian spear fishing and also how the DNR stocks walleye.
Yeah. So I would disagree that the tribal harvest is really what's driving the walleye fishery up north. Like I talked about the need for stocking and habitat changes, we've noticed over the past 30 years, and this is noticed in Minnesota and Michigan as well, that changes in our lakes, including warmer summers, including clearer waters and sometimes more vegetated. We've done a better job with water clarity and quality in some of the lakes by regulating things like septic tanks. We've noticed a shift from a walleye-dominated lake to a bass-dominated lake, and we're not totally sure why that's happened, but we've noticed that the amount of natural reproduction in those lakes is decreasing. So it's not, we think, the harvest, and hook and line fishermen harvest way more walleyes in northern Wisconsin than the tribal spearfishing takes. And this year, they're going to have to share the water at the same time because the tribal spear fishermen will be out there at night while anglers are out there during the day. But really, it's the natural recruitment. There's something going on, whether it's climactic change or habitat changes in the lake. You know, that's one of our tasks as fisheries biologists is to figure out that change. And that's why we stock a lot of walleyes in Wisconsin. And we've switched, actually, about 5 years ago to stocking larger walleyes. And we've made a huge investment in our hatchery program to stock larger walleyes so that those walleyes can survive and aren't preyed on by bass and bluegills and things like that. So really, we've changed how we stock walleyes up north, and we've invested millions of dollars in doing so because we know it's not necessarily the harvest end, but it's the reproduction end of the walleye life cycle that something hasn't gone right.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for the call. And David Rowe, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming in.
Great. Thanks. I'm excited. I'm excited to get out and fish. I wish I could tell you I was going fishing tomorrow, but I've got a soccer game and then I've got to work a creel route. So I'm going to go out and interview some trout fishermen in the evening tomorrow night to estimate how popular our trout streams are. So I've got to work on Saturday, but Sunday I'll be fishing.
Very good. Happy fishing opener. David Rowe is Fisheries Team Supervisor for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and he joined us to preview tomorrow's fishing season opener. And Minnesota's opener, by the way, is May 12th. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. With all the talk on this weekend's fishing opener, it's a good time to reflect on the simple pleasures we can enjoy from the sport. Here's Erica Janik.
There are many high-tech ways to fish these days, but Ron Weber prefers to fish the simple way his grandfather taught him as a kid.
A bald eagle stared at me from a towering white pine as I slid the boat out of my truck. Pulling the rowboat to the water's edge brought a series of chirps from the eagle. He wasn't happy about sharing the remote Northwoods Lake on this June evening. I hoped the eagle wouldn't hold it against me for trying to catch a few largemouth bass from the numerous blowdowns that lay in the dark, stained waters. A few strokes of the oars brought me to where the top half of a balsam fir had fallen into the lake. As my bait raced across the surface a second time, a 12-inch bass found it too tempting. After a brief tussle, the fish was unhooked and released to its watery playground, perhaps a little more wise for the wear. It was a good start to an evening that was alive with all the fragrance and possibility befitting an early summer's eve. Working the shoreline, I tried several more spots with few takers. A great blue heron spooked from a hunt along the shoreline, and as it silently winged away with graceful strokes, I took pause. I pictured hundreds of other lakes where a different scene was playing out on this same evening. Large boats with large motors noisily raced from one spot to the next. Electronic fish finders removed much of the mystery as to what lied below. Fishing, like soda, comes in many different flavors to satisfy many tastes. As my eyes navigated me to the next spot, I remembered how I acquired my taste. My grandpa introduced me to the sport of fishing when I was 7. Each summer, I looked forward to the week-long vacation in the Minocqua area. Often, we'd take grandpa's 14-foot boat with 9-horsepower motor. My favorite trips, however, were when we'd load the rowboat in the back of the truck and try our luck at some backwoods lake. My grandpa would work us from one spot to the next, the squeaking of the oars always a part of the background. As we glided along, I would stare into the water, wondering what mysteries were hidden just beyond my sight. It seemed like such a peaceful, perfectly natural way to fish. I continued working my way around the lake, anxious to see what waited around the next corner. As often as not, spots that looked like sure things produced nothing, while more subtle covers produced action. A whippoorwill broke out in its frantic song, reminding me it's often the things we don't see, but are made aware of only by sounds or tracks that make our adventures ever more fulfilling. As I worked my bait back towards the boat, the twilight peace was again shattered as the water exploded. After several frenzied runs, a 30-inch northern pike came into the boat. The hula popper it had mistaken for a real frog, dangling from its upper jaw. I set the fish back in the water, where it disappeared with a splash of its tail. That seemed like a perfect way to end a memorable evening of fishing. As I guided my boat towards the shore, I couldn't help but think how at that moment, little had seemed to change since my grandpa rowed us around some other lake long ago. That explains my taste for simply fishing. The oars, squeaking and in need of oil, would probably annoy many people, but they made music to my ears. I think Grandpa would want me to leave them just the way they are.
Ron Weber is a forester and writer in Weyerhaeuser. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
This edition of Wisconsin Weekend was produced by Colleen Leahy, Michael Derringer, and the Ideas Network director Cheryl Gasser. If you have an idea for a Wisconsin Weekend topic that we should talk about, do drop us a line. You can email that idea to ideas at WPR.org. That's ideas at WPR.org to go to a Wisconsin Weekend topic that you would like to talk about. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.